3 potatoes, 4 5 potatoes, 6 potatoes, 7 potatoes, more. 1 potato, 2 potatoes, 3 potatoes, 4 5 potatoes, 6 potatoes, 7 potatoes, more.
Potatoes. Welcome to the Potato Week Podcast with your host, Dan Fleming and Tom Crosman.
Thanks, TJ.
Thank you, TJ.
Welcome to episode 167 of Potato League Podcast. We have a lot, but not a lot?
Yes.
I guess?
That makes sense.
Well, we both went to a couple movies.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I guess, more than a usual week. But
yes.
There really wasn't much other than that?
No.
I did go to fish. but we'll start where we usually do with Aunt Becky. The only thing that I really gathered this week, and it's kind of a rehashing of an old story, but it's probably getting a lot more serious, is Aunt Becky has regrets about turning down the initial plea.
You don't say.
Yeah, which is exactly what both of us said multiple times when she first turned it down. This is going to be over for Felicity Huffman probably by Christmas.
Yeah.
And Aunt Becky might go to jail for a decade. I mean, it's very possible. I know she's not going to go, you know, max sentence for everything is like 40-something years. Aunt Becky's not going to jail for the rest of her life. She might go to jail for a decade, though.
That's a possibility.
It would still be really shocking, though, wouldn't it?
Oh, like, it totally would be to see a celebrity go to jail for any length of time for something that... I mean, I don't even think Tyson went to jail that long for
Oh, God, no. It was like a year and a half.
Yeah.
And like Mike Vick was 18 months or 20 months or something like that. Yeah, for something that's nonviolent. But I have long said that, and it's very obvious, white-collar crime is the most... under-prosecuted.
Yeah.
Like, it's... If I stole $10 from you... Well, not $10. But
if you
someone can steal millions of dollars and get less time in a fucking camp than I would if...
And often, they ended up stealing way more than they, like, have to pay back.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Like,
you got
a $2 million...
If they pay back anything.
You have to pay a $2 million fine for that, you know, $3 billion.
Yeah, that's just, well, that's the price of doing business. Cost of doing business right there. Yeah, you're exactly right. But yeah, so Aunt Becky is regretting it. Well, again, it's hard to nail down something like this because obviously she's not talking to the press or anything, so it's all rumor, I guess. But I guess as the guilty pleas come in, and by the way, it's not often that, you know, you could get arrested for something or indicted for something or whatever, and be like, look, well, I need my day in court, and I'm going to show you all these reasons why this wasn't the case, why, you know, I've been wrongfully accused or whatever. There are 50 other people that are accused of the exact same thing she is, and like 20-something of them have already pled guilty for doing precisely what she did. Not just sorta, precisely what she did with the same person.
Mm-hmm.
So the ringleader is talking... Almost all of the coaches and administrators are talking. They've all taken pleas. And then a lot of the parents have taken pleas. So she can't really go in there and be like... I mean, the prosecutor is just like, hey, look, she did what all these people did.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Yep.
I don't know. It baffled me in the beginning, because I remember I started every Aunt Becky thing with, is she dumb or does she have bad representation?
Both.
And it's both.
Yeah.
Yeah, so a bit of me wants her to get just hammered. But on the other hand, I also don't think that she deserves to go to prison for 40 years.
No.
Like, I don't think that fits the crime.
Mm-hmm.
But our criminal justice system is a disaster. I do, however, have a problem with... you know, Aunt Becky, just the sentiment that, you know, what she did was okay and she shouldn't be punished for this and all this stuff, while tens of thousands of people are sitting in jail for weed and
stuff. Just that one woman who sent her kid to the wrong school's district.
Right.
Got like 5 years in prison.
Yeah. Or the woman that voted as a felon, even though no one ever told her that she couldn't, and they allowed her to vote. You have to present yourself and say, even...
Yeah. She didn't sneak into the polling place.
Everyone, when I voted last week for the school budget, everyone that does the voting down there has known me since I was an infant, and I still have to tell them my name, and they check it off that I voted. And this woman is going to jail for 5 years?
Yep.
Because she voted and she was never told that she couldn't. And I know that ignorance of the law is not a defense, but come on.
And honestly, I've never agreed with the felons can't vote.
While
you're in jail, no, probably not.
Right.
But once you've done your time,
that's supposed to be it.
Yeah, you've made amends at that point.
I understand not allowing domestic abusers to ever have guns again.
Yeah.
But that's different.
Yeah, they can still vote.
It is weird that, we got to let them have guns, Second Amendment, but fuck all the voting amendments, I guess. Yeah. Those ones aren't as important? I don't know. I'm frustrated about stuff.
Yeah.
Right now. The fact that there are going to be tanks in Washington, D.C. tomorrow, it really, really bothers
me. My friend who was the tour guide in D.C. is not happy.
The fact that the Lincoln Memorial is going to be closed to GOP donor, VIP donors, really bothers me. I'm sick about it.
For the first time in forever, something that happens every year, and pretty much everyone has managed to make it non-political.
Yeah.
It's now political.
Yes.
And it's being essentially used as a fundraiser.
Oh, 100%. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
I'm so done with this. So done with it. moving on to something. My next thing on my list is annoying, too. And I don't want to get... Because I'm already frustrated, I don't want to get into a whole thing on it. But, I don't give a fuck about soccer.
Yeah.
But I have been paying attention to... Europeans mostly are irritated at how the U.S. women's team acts when they score goals and stuff. So, have you been following this?
I have. So, it's just hilarious to me. I'm like, have you ever watched a goal celebration ever?
Thank you!
Guys whip their shirt off and run around the field
like
they just, cured cancer every time they score a goal.
It's like, am I living on the same planet as the rest of these people? Have you never watched a men's Premier League game? When they score, they about blow each other. So I watch, Piers Morgan has been...
Oh my god, his fucking comment.
Yeah, he's been kind of the lead douchebag.
Which and is his just thing, his permanent role in everything.
Oh yeah. He has a problem with Megan Rapinoe saying that she was conceited. I don't remember how he put it, but
The shot of her that's now quite... It's out there of her, with her arms open, taking in the adulation.
That's all, and I was expecting some big display, and again, even if it was a big display, I still wouldn't give it a fuck, because it's soccer, they all do that.
Guess what? That's not going to even get flagged in the NFL for celebration.
Oh, God, no. The pose that you're talking about is literally the entire celebration that she does. That's it.
Show me a bullfighter who hasn't done that.
I mean, Europeans of all people.
Yeah.
With their celebrations in soccer and bullfighting too.
That's the first thing I said. I'm like, that's a bullfighting pose.
Give me a fucking break.
Yeah.
It's
not like she went out and mimed a hand job.
Or anything even remotely. And then they got pissed at Morgan, I can't remember what her last name is, yesterday because she did a tea sipping thing. If that bothers you, for fuck's sakes, grow up.
Ocho Cinco has 45 celebrations worse than all of those.
Well, like you said, every European Premier League goal is an event.
That lasts 4 minutes.
Yeah. And that, you take issue with her sipping, fake sipping tea or putting her hands up? Like, give me a fucking break.
Well, it's because they speak out against men. I mean, I think that was the other thing, too, where Rapinoe was like, no, I'm not going to the fucking White House.
Oh, yeah.
And then she made the most astute comment, not like we're going to get invited anyway.
Exactly.
Which they wouldn't have been.
No.
Trump wouldn't have fucking invited. Now he's doing the whole, I invite them.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he knows they're not going to show up.
Right.
Yeah. And I don't blame them. Why would you want to be in the room with that man?
No. He hates you.
Yeah.
He hates you.
Mm.
And every, not that, yeah, he hates you.
Yeah.
So I don't get it. I went to a fish show last week. not long after we recorded.
It was that night, yeah.
It was that night. I had a good time. I again, don't care about the music. They are
don't care about the music or the venue, but...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, the venue sucks. But the... we had a very good time. We had pit tickets, but we spent most of our time up on the back lawn because it's actually pretty cool. It's basically, that's the family zone.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's there with their kids.
Mm-hmm.
All the kids are well behaved.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's happy.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's smoking. The cops are literally standing right next to you while you're smoking. They don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
That's a little bit weird. Even for me.
Mm-hmm.
Although I shouldn't say even for me because I am by myself 90% of the time when I'm smoking, but it is weird. They just don't care.
Yeah.
They
have other problems.
They have much bigger problems,
mm-hmm.
much bigger things to worry about than whether or not you've got a vape pen. But yeah, I had a good time. It's a mini high school reunion when you go to a fish show. There were six people there that I guess we knew. And of course, Kate and Ben, every third person they ran into, because they see the same people at every show.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of the people there, I was probably one of 10 people there that it was my first show. You know, it's not them, including the kids. Yeah, like Melissa Gormley's kids have been to 50 shows, you know. it's been my first one. Yeah, I had a good time, and they're just magnificent musicians.
Mm-hmm.
I just, like you said, although they didn't play that song, whatever one it is, but they did play... Oh, I can't think of that. How there was one that it just kept going over and over, and like we talked about last week, they'll start playing a song, and then like 20 minutes later, I couldn't tell when one song ended and another one began. They didn't play any of the ones that I know, which is good, I guess, or bad, I don't know. So there was no bouncing around the room or name another one.
Down with Disease.
Yes, that one. They played that the night before. And then there's one more that I know that they didn't play. But either way, had a good time. Great people that I was there with, so it didn't really matter. And they were, of course, they were all having a blast because they're big fish people. But been playing, still playing 2K19. Getting a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
It's still, I was texting my brother earlier this week, and I just said, video game basketball has passed me by. Like, I can't do it. I
know when I, like, I have to have such a stationary fucking camera. Because, like, I know you can choose, like, all these dynamic cameras.
Yeah.
I can't do that.
I do the wide side view. That's...
Yeah.
Anything more than... Yeah, I don't like it either with its...
Yeah.
It looks cooler. Like,
watch...
To watch someone play that way would be more entertaining, but...
Yeah, I can't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I ran into that same problem, and I'm sure it's only gotten better.
Well, the thing with basketball games is as... They got more and more realistic and less video gamey, less arcadey. You know, around PS3 time.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed to like everything, like all the animations, slow it down. Like
mm-hmm.
it's really slow. It looks better, but like you have to play a different way because it's like every move you make is. Like you're in quicksand before you start moving, and then to
mm-hmm.
get to stop, it's like you're. Fucking loaded.
That's because they gotta give you time to do the buttons.
Yeah, I don't know. It's I'm still having a good time with it because I'm doing it's sort of like a story mode.
I'm the master of the 6-foot jump shot.
that's
what most of my buckets on that game are.
Yeah, mine are all inside.
Yeah.
Almost every single one of them.
Yeah.
I have gotten pretty good at, like, you know, sneaking in. I'm a 3. And you build your character. That's another thing. Your character starts. Playing in the Chinese League as a 20-year-old, 60 overall. Which, just to give you any indication, most NBA starters on that game are at least a 75 or above rating-wise. And the good players are in the 90s, obviously. But you start off as a 60, which is, you're brutal. You can't run, shoot, or do anything. Then you have to kind of build your way up, and you work your way up to the D-League, and you work your way into the NBA, and then...
Up to
the sixth man and
that just
starter.
Seems so fucking long.
It is and it isn't, because once you're playing the games, like early on, you're only playing like 12 minutes a game, and when you're not in, you're not Yeah. It just skips. Well, you can watch it if you want, but who the fuck
why?
Would?
Yeah, why? Yeah.
You just skip ahead to when you get put back in the game. But now I'm playing like 32 minutes a game, so the games take longer, but because I'm a full-time starter now. But still, and then like in between games, if you had a good game, the Shaq will want to talk to you on the TNT broadcast, and then depending on what your answer is, there's always an answer that will either get you more fans, which leads to endorsements, or will improve your team chemistry. So you can say something nice about the team or the fans, so you just kind of choose each one.
Yeah.
And then you can go to practice. You don't have to do any of this, but you can go to practice and work on things, and it'll boost your stuff. But
I was going
to
say, I think this year's free agency is probably fucking with video game makers.
Oh, man, the free agency's been bonk. And I barely follow the NBA.
Yeah, I do too, but it's like, it pops up on Facebook and Instagram and shit. But it's not. I saw it was like 40% of the players this year are free agents in one form or another.
Wow.
40%.
I wonder why. Why did they, is there any explanation?
It's just like the magic, like, everybody
just the way
on,
everyone's
like,
contracts?
Everyone's contracts, yeah. Expired. Or, you know, a lot of them are restricted free agents or are able to opt out.
Right.
Because that's the thing, too. It's like superstars get opt-out years now.
Yeah.
Like, I signed a 7-year contract, but I can opt out after two.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, NBA contracts are... I don't follow the NBA enough to really understand how the contract stuff works. I understand football contracts pretty well because I listen to... I mean, that's all they talk about this time of year, so... but with basketball, it's weird because they don't have... They have max deals, and it's all dependent on your time in service, and... But still, people...
Well, not just that, too, because I know, like, it was made a big deal this year that Klay Thompson did not make an All-NBA team, and that cost him roughly $30 million on a potential contract. Because normally he pops up on, like, the third team, and he didn't this year, so he... He could have gained, because that would have, like, elevated into a certain status in a contract year.
So, man, when you
I mean, he's still signed for, like, 5 years, $180 million or some shit.
He's going to be okay.
But, yeah, he could have signed for, like, you know,
a gajillion.
210 for over five.
It is weird. That's that shows kind of how it's... The NBA is kind of messed up when your fourth best player... is regularly making all NBA teams. Your fourth best player.
Yeah.
The Warriors have three guys, well, not now, but for the last couple of years, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, and Draymond Green are all better than Klay Thompson, or all more important to their team than Klay Thompson. And he's still an all-NBA player. He might even be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
It's crazy. The NBA is nuts right now. On one hand, I like the idea of players having more power as far as, hey, me, you, and this other guy, let's all play for the Bucks next year and win six championships in a row.
Yeah.
They can kind of do that. It's collusion.
Yeah,
and
that's one of the things they were talking. That's one of the things they were talking about is like the not they don't use collusion, obviously, but like you're not supposed to be talking with other people about this type of shit.
Yeah,
you know they all are.
Do you think that who were the three that signed with the Nets yesterday?
Oh yeah, Durant and Kyrie Irving
and Jordan
and DeAndre.
Do you think they all just happened to do that?
Yeah.
Sign with the Nets?
Yeah.
No.
No.
No, they did not.
Especially where all three of them are, like, apparently really good friends. It's like...
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they are. I'm sure they are.
Yeah. All of a sudden, the Nets go from a team that is terrible to the odds-on favorite. Well, not this year, because Durant's... That's the other thing. They gave Durant this contract knowing he can't play for them next year.
Yeah, that's true.
Because he's going to be out with the Achilles injury.
They'll still be good.
Maybe he'll be back for playoff time. Who knows, but... Yeah.
Well, wait. Because I'm just going by... Brandon Brooks tore his Achilles in the NFC divisional round, and he's sprinting right now. So, and he weighs 340 pounds. So how many months is that? That would have been second week of January. So, yeah, he's only 6 months out. It was a tear. It was a complete Achilles tear.
Mm-hmm.
And he's sprinting, so he might be back. When did he do that? About a month and a half ago? A month ago?
Yeah, roughly.
He might be back after the All-Star break.
Possibly.
Or maybe even before. Man, fuck, it's that has been the biggest advancement in like the last 20 years in sports is certain injuries used to be either career threatening or it was 2 years. Like, Tommy John used to be 2 years.
Yeah.
Now it's like almost months. Mandatory.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that you, and they all come back better.
Oh yeah. Like I can't remember. Like the Cubs signed a guy over the winter who was like 26 and was coming off Tommy John.
Oh yeah,
it's like, they, Jesus. That used to be like Tommy John when he had those was in like his mid 30s.
Yeah,
because his arm finally fucking gave out.
Well, I have even heard it's weird, and it's weird to hear people talk like this. I remember when they were talking about before Strasburg, when he was throwing 100 miles an hour in high school. They were like, well, they're going to have to plan around when he's eventually going to have Tommy John. And he fucking did.
Yep.
And I don't know how he is now.
Oh, but he's still good.
I'm sure he's fine.
He's an all-star every year.
It's just weird that for especially ones that throw hard, which fucking all of them do now, it's like you almost have to.
Yeah,
it's
you have to, take into account that you're going to miss them for a year and a half while they have surgery at some point.
And you're almost hoping it happens sooner rather than later to get it over.
But it happened while the arm's young.
Yeah. Because, man, the way they do the surgery now...
Some of them have two.
Yeah. But the way they do the surgery now, it's better than what you and I have uninjured.
Yep.
You know, the tendon, because they double it up or something. I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
But they basically make you a robot arm.
Yeah.
Your elbow is now...
bionic.
Yeah. I don't know why I couldn't find that word, but I couldn't. The other ones, I'm still going on Origins.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically just Odyssey... Without a lot of the... technically, it's identical. It's just a lot of the really refined systems in Odyssey aren't quite refined in Origins. The minute-to-minute gameplay is pretty much the same, and it's just as fun. I'm having a blast with it.
Yeah.
But it's like... the cult, for example,
is
a major part of Odyssey. And you can see the remnants of it here, but there's nothing... It's not quite fleshed out.
Yeah, I heard that, like... Because I've completed the storyline for Odyssey.
Yeah.
The main two storylines. I've secured Atlantis, and I have wiped out the cult.
Yeah, yeah, yep.
And then you again get...
The Atlantis thing is the actual main story, right?
No.
What's the actual main story? I don't fucking remember. It is?
Okay. Yeah. Because the Atlantis thing's only a small part of it. But that is the main part of the... current day quote-unquote storyline is your person's trying to find a way into Atlantis.
Yeah, I've only...
And she is apparently in Origins.
Is it Layla? Is that her name? Okay, yeah, she is. She's, and I've only had to go to present day, like, mandatory once. And I just had to listen to a little conversation and I was able to jump right back in. But you can always get to her from the pause menu, which I don't think you can in Odyssey.
Because
why the fuck would you?
Yeah.
But yeah, in your pause menu on Origins, you can hit up or whatever, and it's just labeled Layla, and you go and you wake up.
And do what?
I don't know.
Walk around?
I'm not going to do it because I don't want to sit through the load screen it takes to get there. That's kind of impressive. The game, I don't remember how Odyssey was, but initial load screen is really long, but then there aren't any.
Yeah.
It just, everything's loaded.
Apparently the
amazing.
Ending of this ties, like, because there's a shot in this, towards the end, where you kind of have, it shows stuff from all the other games, where I guess it's tying everything together.
At the end of Odyssey?
Yeah.
Sure.
Which, again, I'm just like,
I don't
okay.
remember it.
But it shows, like, a pirate ship, and it shows the American Revolution.
Yep.
It shows, like, I'm like, okay, I know enough.
Italia.
I know enough to know that those are scenes from the other game.
Sure.
I don't really fucking care, but apparently they're trying to bring it all together for whatever the next one is going to be. Apparently the next one's because she's finally got the staff.
Well, it is unusual because...
so I guess Layla finding the staff has been a big thing.
In Odyssey... Actually, both of them, in Origins and Odyssey, there is no Assassin's Guild. It's not...
Yeah.
Hasn't happened yet. Well, I assume it's Origins it's going to, but...
that would make sense.
And that actually has... I think it's been one of the benefits of the last two games, is that it's kind of, not that that's not a fun story and whatever, but I like we've talked about 100 times, I was never in it for the, you know, centuries old battle between the Templars and the Assassins. Yeah. That's not why people like it. If that's what you want to use as your through line, that's fine, but don't make it.
Well, apparently the then message. Odyssey is like the creation of the Templars.
Yeah.
Because you've wiped out the cult.
Right.
And whoever becomes like the next leader is whoever starts
you've
the
created
Templars.
A power vacuum.
Yes.
Now it's coming back to me a little bit.
Yeah.
So it is weird that they're hands down, two most successful in a long time. It was a steady decline from about probably the third Ezio game, which would have been like Brotherhood or something.
Yeah.
Until it was a steady decline from there to 3 to whatever it was, to Black Flag, and then like Syndicate, and then there's one other one in there too, that were all just getting continually worse. And then they took that year off, which people have been screaming for them to do for a long time. They took a year off, built it from the ground up again instead of just tacking on every year, and came out with Origins, and it was very well received. And like I said, I'm enjoying it. And then Odyssey is just Origins perfected, or Origins improved. And the thing that they've taken out is kind of the
through line that they've been trying to build for the entire time.
So I wonder if at some point you just punt the story and just keep making these kind of games that are very loosely threaded. But then I wonder if the studio Pride's a motherfucker. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I wonder if the studio is like, no, god damn it, this is our Iliad, you know? We have written an epic. And I don't know, at some point, yeah, you just punt the thing that people don't like. People like the games.
Yeah.
They will buy your games.
Yep.
If they keep making Odyssey every year, every 2 years, I'll play that the rest of my life.
If I have to sit through probably at most 20 minutes of whatever the fucking shit is that takes place in modern day-ish, whatever.
In some of the other games, it was
hours. Yeah, but you had to go back and forth a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you added it all up, it was several hours. And I can't remember which one it was, but there was actually some, like, you had to do some platforming. Ugh. And it was brutal, because you had to climb through this, like, weird temple or something, and you're the modern day thing, so you got your jeans and your hoodie.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking Desmond. And then there were other ones. There was another one where you were inside Abstergo and you had to escape unnoticed, and that was fucking irritating. Mm-hmm. Because you can't just knife everyone anymore. Because you're just a dude.
You know
in a hoodie.
The playing mechanic that you've been using for hours.
Exactly.
We're not going to let you do that.
Yeah. And we've talked about that before. A lot of games fuck up their boss fights by doing that. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, you know this thing that you've been enjoying and perfecting the last 30 hours? Yeah, forget all that. Yep. Now it's just going to be a button mashing or quick time or something like that. I like it when stay with what your game is good at, and then when you get to your big moments, keep doing that.
Yep.
Hey, we're going to give you this new thing that we haven't spent nearly as much time perfecting. That never made sense to me. The Assassin's Creeds are, I hope they keep going on this kind of trajectory that they're going now. They're definitely leaning, you could see it in Origins, and then it's pretty much full-blown RPG by the time you get to Odyssey.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not Skyrim-level detail, and Skyrim is also, I say that saying, knowing Skyrim is not a full RPG either. It's more of an action RPG, but that's what most Westerns are anyway. But it's not the JRPGs where you're doing percentages and systems and all that type of bullshit. Damage per second and all that kind of stuff. I'm telling you, though, I don't know that I've ever enjoyed a game more than the first Dragon Age, which was as dense as... But you had to be into it. And I knew that if I stopped, that I'd never get back in. But, like, when you're doing things by the... Building your character by, like, the 0.1% on things, it's...
That just sounds horrible to me.
Well, it's just really fun, especially when you can do a lot of things at once. Mm-hmm. Like... upgrading stuff and putting, you know, points into different trees and stuff like that, that, like, my thing was always critical damage, and I would try to get, like, the critical damage up to, like, 20%, mm-hmm. so that every fifth hit I was doing, like, triple damage or whatever. This is getting super nerdy. So I would always do roguelikes that would do daggers really fast, and you rack up some major damage. It's pretty awesome, if you guys are into that sort of thing. Yeah, but I don't know how I got there, but it was there just the same. I jumped on PlayStation because I wanted to look at... I've never seen them do this before. They changed out the two games you get every month with your PS Plus membership. They typically announce them the Tuesday before the first Tuesday of the following month, so it's usually like the 26th or whatever. Yeah. And then it's the first Tuesday of each month where they're available for download. Well, this year, this month when they came out, it was like the most recent Pro Evolution Soccer game, which is just...
That timing makes sense.
Yeah, it's the... It's Madden, but for people that like soccer. And don't want FIFA, I guess. Yeah. And then that, and then some other game. People were pissed, apparently. And didn't like those offerings. So, yesterday... This is all within the span of, like, 2 days. Yesterday, they announced that Pro Evolution Soccer had been pulled, and that they're putting in Detroit Become Human, mm-hmm. which was a first-party game from last year that I didn't play, because it came out between, like, God of War and Horizon or something. Yeah. I don't remember which.
I remember seeing commercials for that.
Yeah.
They had a big push on that.
Yeah, and it's had the guy from that show that Robin watches is in it. And
Jesse something.
Yeah.
From Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah. His name is Jackson something on the show, or is Jesse his name, or is Jackson
I think
name?
Jesse's his name.
Okay, Jackson his name is his name on the show, then. It's Jesse... It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So that is the, and I went on to make sure it was, I wanted to jump on to make sure that it was there. How come I can't find the thing? There it is, by God, yep. Yeah, that and Horizon Chase Turbo Racing. Yeah, that was people's complaint, was that, why are you giving us two sports type titles?
Well, that makes sense.
I guess I...
But again, they're free games. Shut up.
I don't pay much mind to it. I don't play online, mm-hmm. and I don't really pay much mind to the free games every month, although I always add them, at least add them to your library, that way you'll always have access to it, even if you don't want to download it. I have PS Plus, this is very old man-ish, because of the deals mm-hmm. that you get through. Like, some of the deals are really good that come with your membership. I'll probably play this game.
Yeah.
But for the most part, my PS Plus membership is so that I can get 80% off NBA 2K19 and get it for $4. That was another part of my 2K story, was that I convinced myself... I've never, ever done this before. I convinced myself that it was okay to buy in-game money with actual money.
Because you didn't spend it purchasing
the game. Because I didn't spend it purchasing the game. I thought, this is the most recent 2K. It's still $60 in stores.
Yep.
I paid $4 for it.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to get all the trophies for the My Career, at least the My Career thing that I'm doing. And that's going to take forever at this rate. Mm. So, because your currency is how you build up your attributes. Yeah. So I went on and plus I still have a huge credit from when I bought all those gift cards. So it was really 20% off that price too. So I went on and bought $10 worth of, in-game credits and did a quick, I boosted my player like four points, with my 35,000 coins that I bought. But I've never done that before. And I was pacing right in, mm-hmm. down here thinking, I only paid...
You were going back and forth.
Yeah, I'm gonna pay $10 for it, but I really only paid $8 for the gift card that I'm using to buy it with. Plus, I only spent $4 on the game, so this is really... It's a $14 game that I'm really only spending... Because I also got 20% off the game when I bought it, so I really only paid $3 for the game. Yeah, I can. It didn't take long. It took longer than it should have. It was more of an internal conversation than should have happened over an $8 video game purchase, but it did happen. Movies?
Yeah.
Unless you had something in between that and the movies? Where do you want to start? We have at least three.
We have at least three?
At least three.
Oh, that's right, yes. I'll start with Aladdin.
Ooh, good one.
Since we've already discussed it briefly from last week. I was not the fan of it that you were.
Didn't think so.
For me, it was a very serviceable film.
Mm-hmm.
It hit its marks.
Yep.
I could not get over the fact that I am forgetting her name, but the lead actress,
Naomi
tremendous
Scott.
Singer.
Hmm? Naomi Scott.
Sure.
Yep.
She looks just like Buffy Summers. She's Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Huh.
I couldn't get that out of my face, because she'd even do the head tilt sometimes when she talked to him. I'm like, Jesus Christ, that's Buffy.
Yeah.
She is Buffy all over. Tremendously talented singer.
She's not Adele, but...
No. But definitely overshadows everyone else.
Yes.
Easily.
Yes.
Will Smith was fine as the genie.
Mm-hmm.
He should not have been singing, like, the opening Arabian Nights song.
Agreed.
At all. I think that said... That's what kind of set it off on the wrong foot for me.
Well, that's why I think...
Because he could not hit that.
That's when the Arabian Nights line,
yes.
Particularly. Yeah. We skipped that on the soundtrack.
Oh, my God. It's not good. I can see why.
The two best numbers of the movie are both Will Smith, though, are the Friend Like Me and the Prince Ali one. I thought those were both good. The Arabian Nights one is not. I also like the Aladdin ones. Again, it's jarring when Jasmine comes in,
mm-hmm.
but on the ones where on the like the one jump ahead thing that he does at the beginning, and it's just him, it's good.
Yeah.
I mean, they're also fun songs.
Yeah.
So that helps.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably already knew the words to all of them too. Right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Okay, the two songs that they added for her, I was fine with.
They do stand out though, don't they?
They do stand out because they're not. They're not what we remember.
Yeah. Well, it's two parts of the same song. It's a modern song.
Yeah.
Where the rest are kind of show tunes.
Yeah. The guy they got to play Jafar, sorry, not evil enough.
I need
my fucking Jafar to be a sinister motherfucker.
You twirly mustaches and
whatnot. I get why that works better in a cartoon than it does live action, because if it was too much in live action, you'd be like, this guy's being cartoonish.
Well, I think the part of it was, and I'm getting this just not based on direct quotes, but just the conversation around it at the time was that the first thing, people's initial reaction was that he's too young and good looking.
Yeah.
And what I was thinking was, if he was old and, like you said, it comes off better in a cartoon, but there's also a lot of he wants to marry Jasmine.
Yeah.
And it would have been really weird if that was a 60-year-old
exactly,
dude in a Disney movie.
Yeah.
All horned up for
no
a 25-year-old.
I have no problem with him being young. Because, again, he's also someone who supposedly wants to be very upwardly mobile.
Yeah.
You know? And
it makes sense to be young. A younger man's game.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not going to bring in fucking Jeremy Irons.
Ambition's a young man's game.
Yeah, to do that. But again, you know it can be done, because I'm just making the parallel. He should be Littlefinger.
Yeah, no,
maybe a little bit older than her. Or in Littlefinger's case, almost probably twice her age.
Yeah.
But he pulled off Sinister well, whereas this guy didn't. He pulled off just more angry than Sinister, I think.
It also, that also comes down maybe not just to the particular actor and their look, but also that actor's talent level?
Yeah.
And also the talent level of the director.
Yeah.
Because I'm blanking on his name, but
Guy
Littlefinger.
Ritchie. Oh, yeah. Eowyn or something like that.
Yeah, some weird fucking
some Irish name. He's Irish.
What an asshole. he's a really good actor. Mm. When someone can make you hate them,
mm-hmm.
and not like really,
yeah,
that's impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Without just flat out being insulting.
Yeah.
eat something?
I can't remember.
Who knows? Who knows those people?
We have no way of ever figuring
it out. No, I mean, if there was only a way we could search it. So I'm trying to think of other Guy Ritchie. What Guy Ritchie movies have I even seen?
Lock, Stock, Two Smoking nope. Barrels, Snatch.
Nope.
All the Sherlock Holmes films.
I thought those both sucked.
I liked the first one, did not care for the second one.
I don't know. Actually, I should take that back. I'm not sure I watched the second one. I know I own them both.
I can't remember the one he did one of the Arthur films of recent. Or Robin Hood, maybe.
Oof. I did not watch that either. Or the King... Was the King Arthur one?
Nope.
Was that him?
The King Arthur... most recent King Arthur one was by the guy who did... the kids-based one is the guy who did... Jesus.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Not that one. The one from, like, maybe 3 years ago?
Yeah, the one with Charlie Hunnam.
Yeah. Because that's free on Vudu right now, ooh, if you want to check it out.
I'm pulling up his filmography right now. King Arthur, Legend of the Sword.
Yeah.
He did Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Oh, that was the other thing I meant to mention. Sorry.
Rock and Rolla and Revolver. Oh, and Swept Away.
That's the Madonna one,
that's
right?
That's the Madonna one. Well, they were married. Whatever. At that point.
Yeah,
that one really sidetracked his career, because he was hot.
But I don't begrudge him that.
But, I mean, he'd just come off Lock, Stock, and Snatch, and people were like, oh, this guy's got some goods.
I mean, do you think there's anyone on the planet that says no to Madonna that could? No. I mean, even if you don't care for her, if she told you to do something, you'd do it.
Yeah.
I don't like your music, and I don't really care, but yes, ma'am.
But, I mean, he's up until, like, Sherlock Holmes, he was very much a British crime.
Yeah.
They were hip British crime films. Which Sherlock Holmes, honestly, isn't that far away from a British crime film.
I mean, technically it's the original British crime film, isn't it?
Yeah.
But he's
got a certain kinetic style that people enjoy.
I think he's got
a zone that he's good in. Get him out of that zone, not so much.
I'll tell you, and I guess this kind of proves it, I didn't notice him in Aladdin.
Yeah.
And
I only did during, like, the street rat scenes.
Yeah?
But yeah,
Because of the camera work, or...?
Yeah, but it wasn't his usual tricks that he does. But I think that kind of hurt him when it came to some of the more big musical numbers. I think only because, like, I've seen some Bollywood films, and they choreographed the shit out of those.
Yeah.
Those are, like, so bombastic.
Yeah.
And this wasn't.
Yeah.
And it's like, maybe... Like, you know how, like, the guys who directed The Matrix brought in some Asian dudes to direct a lot of their action scenes?
Yeah.
I think maybe that's what he should have done.
Mm.
Like, okay, this needs to be a huge musical number right here. I'm going to bring in some people who do this.
Holy shit. Look how big Battlefront 2 is.
Oh, yeah. 100 gigs.
Holy fuck.
So I think this...
Sorry.
I think this was a perfectly serviceable film. I mean, it's making its money.
How is it doing?
It'll probably hit a billion. I don't know. But it's definitely not one that I'd be like, you know what, I'm going to watch that over the cartoon every time. No, I'm going to watch the fucking cartoon.
I will watch both.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll ever watch this again.
Ugh.
Good.
I will.
It was good enough for me.
Yeah.
But I don't think I'll ever watch it again.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, that is exactly how I feel about the live-action Beauty and the Beast.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never watch that movie
again.
Which
I still haven't seen.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a lot like Aladdin, to be honest.
I get why they do it.
But I have more of an attachment to
it. It introduces a whole new generation, and it makes fucking money.
A whole new generation.
I know.
You're right.
Aladdin is currently at, let's see, 878 million worldwide.
Huh. I gotta delete something here.
So it'll make its billion.
I'm gonna delete that.
But again, it's not... That's the type of film... That while made for me, was made more for me to show my kids type of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's like, hey, remember that stuff that you liked when you were a kid? Now you can show it to your kids.
Yes, that movie was 100% made for me.
Yeah.
Because it was like, kids get in the fucking car, we're going to Aladdin.
Yep.
You know, which is what happened, you know?
Yeah.
They were both glad to be there, but it was, Robin and I were the ones that were singing and clapping. Actually, I guess I was the only one that was singing. But we were all clapping. To the point where Tilly, when we listen to the soundtrack in the car, she claps at the end of some of them. After we've skipped Arabian Nights, that is. Yeah, I wonder how much of it was... part of my delight with the movie was the fact that Will Smith was not just not a disaster, he was pretty good.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that added to what I liked about it, and you knowing that I had said that going in, and maybe you weren't ready to hate on that part of it.
Yeah, like, he was fine, because he purposely didn't try to be Robin Williams.
Yes.
He was very much Will Smith.
Very much Will Smith.
But yeah, when he was just being the genie, he was in, like, these are jokes that I can picture Will Smith telling.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And yeah, you can't make that film without knowing you're going to get compared to fucking Robin Williams in that.
Yeah, I guess, in hindsight, someone like Will Smith is the only person you could do. And I don't just mean a big star. I mean someone who is, that's Will Smith.
Likeable, energetic, and kind of bulletproof.
And has a style.
Yeah.
Like,
Big Willie style, actually.
Yeah. I mean... Again, we bring him up every week because he's like the biggest movie star ever. But Tom Cruise is a huge star, but he's not
that role.
Right?
You can't put. He's Tom Cruise, so he could probably still make something of it.
Yeah.
But again, yeah.
But I mean, he doesn't have the.
Will Smith is bankable. You know, we cast Will Smith in this. This is what we're going to get when it comes to the comedy.
And it's gonna. He's going to make it a Will Smith performance.
Yeah.
Starts every song with woo. It's all there. All of the things are there, but except that he cannot hit that Arabian Nights note. It's very pulled back.
It's like, guys, you could have just brought someone in else to sing that part. You could have. No one would have cared.
No one really would have cared. The only point of is that it's like in the original one, the genie is he's the guy singing it at the beginning because he's the whatever. But in this, it's, you know, he's telling the story to his kids and whatnot.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I'm like, are we getting a Will Smith, are we getting a genie origin story? And then, well, we kind of are.
Yeah. Well, we're getting the human version.
Yeah.
Overall, it was.
So like obviously, they're not getting a sequel.
Maybe. You never know. The way they're pumping them out, they're going to run out soon. The live action ones, they're gonna have to do a live action Frozen in a couple minutes. They can still use the same actors.
Hey, they can do a live action Black Cauldron.
Yeah, they could.
I kind of hope that. I would love to see those five books.
Never understood why they started with
book two.
that's weird.
Yeah.
What else did you see? Other than, well, I mean, we'll finish.
The other two I could talk about another week because they're horror movies. So I'll compound them with something else.
Okay. The other movie I saw last week was Yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see it or no?
I have not seen it yet, no.
God damn it. I need to clear more space here. It's exactly what you think it is. It's fine. It was funny, but if you take even if you kind of keep the same kind of whimsical premise, whatever, however you want to put that, or put it in whatever form you want, if you take out the Beatles music...
Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what I've heard on it.
I mean, you wouldn't care. No one would watch it. There were a couple weird plot points that really didn't end up really mattering. Because you don't go into a movie like this expecting, like, an Annihilation-type ending. Mm-hmm. It ain't that kind of sci-fi, you know? I'm not looking for them to explain why Groundhog Day happened, you know? So, but that, I mean, that's a good... That part doesn't matter. The reason I say that is that I didn't go into it expecting to learn why this worldwide power outage happened and everyone woke up the next day without, he was the only one that remembered the Beatles. But they did some stuff with that. They should have just like in Groundhog Day, it should have been, in Groundhog Day, however many minutes into it, you're like, oh, okay, the day resets, you're on board, I don't need to know anymore.
Yeah.
That's all I need to know about the weird things that are happening. Just let me watch Bill Murray make jokes for the next hour and 10 minutes or whatever's left at that point. This movie, you either needed to go all the way in, like Happy Death Day, for example, or Happy Death Day to You. Have you not watched that yet?
I haven't watched
it. Okay, that's actually, I just thought of that now. Mm-hmm. That's actually a really good example of how you can do that. If you're going to explain it.
Yeah.
Even if it's dumb and doesn't really make sense, which is what Happy Death Day, they make the attempt, they go all in. Again, it's dumb, but it's still enjoyable. This, they kind of dip their toe into wanting to explain it or making you think there's more mystery than there is. And then, but still with the Groundhog Day ending of no explanation as to why it happened or how. Or because the reason I say that is because they, it's not just the Beatles. It's a couple other things, too.
Yeah.
And, like, Coke has never been invented. And there's another band, too. Oh, Oasis never existed.
Well, that makes sense.
I know. And the Beatles.
But
and
again,
then,
who cares?
Right. And then there's one other kind of, it's not really spoilery other than it happens at the very end, so I won't say it. But there's, and then another popular culture thing that never existed. Because so, a couple times during the movie, he goes, ooh, I could really go for a Coke. And everyone thinks he's talking about cocaine.
Yeah.
Actually, that part's kind of funny.
I love that that still exists. They're just stealing that, though, from Tab from fucking Back to the Future.
Yeah. It, but it was funny because he's at a meeting or whatever, and a waitress comes over and asks him if he wants anything, and he says, yeah, I'll just have some Coke, and everybody's like, whoa. That was
hardcore, pal.
Yeah, you're hardcore. It was funny, but it would have been better if it was just Groundhog Day. You know, it's just that the day resets. It's not. Because if Groundhog Day had been, well, the day resets, plus sometimes the sun and the moon switch places, you'd be like,
why?
Why that, then? Yeah. So, and that's, I guess that's what, you. I don't know if you kind of waste some mental energy watching the movie. Because you know how sometimes, well, you were kind of talking about it with Aladdin, with Jafar, something takes your mind off the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of all you can focus on.
Yep.
Or at least, if any part of your brain is focusing on that, it's having a negative impact.
Yeah.
So, like, I think watching this, because you're like, are they going to dip further into this, like, sci-fi type event, or aren't they? Or is this just a lighthearted comedy or whatever? By the way, my brother watched the entire movie not knowing it was Kate McKinnon. That is, that's the his manager later on. And he's like, at the end he goes, oh, that was Kate McKinnon. It's like, what? Yeah, it was. So we had a chuckle over that. But yeah, it was funny. It's kind of like you with Aladdin. I'll watch it once. I'll probably never watch it again. Actually, I'll probably watch it again when it comes on HBO and Robin wants to watch it.
Yeah.
Because I said, yeah, it's good. You'll want to, you know, you'll want to watch it, but it won't be the sort of thing that you'd go back to.
Yeah.
It was also, I don't know that it really ruined the experience, but there was a boomer sitting two doors down singing every single song. And she wasn't too loud, so it didn't really bother me. But at some point I wanted to be like, honey, it's the Beatles. We all know the fucking words.
Yeah.
Okay? You're not.
Yeah.
I know you think you're at a show. You're not.
No.
Yeah, and the other kind of oh, another kind of dip your toe into the sci-fi part of it. It's actually in the trailer. He's on James Corden, and you know, and James Corden says, "Are you sure you wrote these songs?" Because there are two guys backstage that say they wrote the songs. Spoiler: that was just a dream.
Oh.
That was a nightmare. He said, because the movie is and rightly so about him wrestling with the idea of because he feels like he's stealing these songs.
Yeah,
but on the other hand, no one knows who they are, you know, because he just, because what happens is he gets hit by a bus the instant the thing happens.
Mm-hmm.
And then, well, because the lights go out and the bus fucking slams into him. And his manager slash sort of almost girlfriend is Lily James, who is in fucking everything lately. Mm-hmm. She gets him a guitar as a get well present or whatever, and they say, oh, well, you gotta try it out. And he plays Yesterday, and they're all like blown away because he's just this mediocre songwriter who's been playing fucking high schools and stuff. And so he's wrestling with the idea of, like, I mean, these songs should be out there and no one else knows about them. I mean, in a way, I'm writing them, no one else knows. So, like, but you would still, it would still, you'd still feel guilty. Because at one point, he tries to sneak in one of his songs during the recording session.
Uh-oh. No.
It didn't go
that's
well.
That's terrible.
They're like, I want to say, she says something like, I want to say I like it, but I hate it. let's go back to those other ones you were doing. But, I mean, overall, it was, yeah, it was exactly what I figured. It was fine.
Yeah.
Spider-Man?
Yeah,
are we Spider-Man. At Spider-Man already?
We are at Spider-Man.
Okay.
As I sit for my lemonade Spider-Man cup.
Very strong, high-end Marvel solo.
Yes.
I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. As far as the solo films, it's definitely up at the upper end of them.
And it also, and being a post-Avengers movie is usually, mm-hmm. in Marvel terms, kind of a death knell.
Yeah.
Ant-Man's gotten it twice, hasn't he? Were both Ant-Mans right after an Avengers? Either, it doesn't matter. Either way, or even if you're Avengers adjacent, like Captain Marvel, which, again, not that it didn't do well monetarily, but like it just seems so much smaller by comparison. Whereas this didn't.
Mm. And it's something that they actually kind of have to build towards based on some of the films that they've got coming out. Like a Black Widow solo film is going to be small.
Mm-hmm.
A Shang-Chi film, for fuck's sake, it needs to be small.
And we don't say that pejoratively.
No.
It's, you know, I'm not saying something negative about Captain Marvel or even Ant-Man. No. They're just, it's hard when you're coming off Endgame or Infinity War or even Ultron or Civil War, and you go to just a, you know, a single heist film.
And they kind of make it, I mean, they bring it to our attention in this, that with Quentin, Mysterio, that it needs to be an Avengers-level event that he's creating.
Right.
So that he can be a part of the Avengers.
So spoiler. We're going to spoil it. So from here on out, if you haven't seen Spider-Man, and the Mysterio thing, you should have known that going in, but we'll get more into that in a minute. Because there is a weirdness about that for comic book movies. So from here on out, the 56-minute mark, you're getting spoiled for Far From Home. It must be weird as a director or screenwriter or Kevin Feige making decisions about how you're going to play stuff when a whole character's... their whole thing is that you think they're a good guy at first and then it turns out they're a villain. Like, how much do you play into that when you know that, I don't know, half your audience? Less than half? How many people walked into Far From Home knowing that Mysterio was a bad guy?
Probably not the two girls sitting next to me.
Okay.
So
they were excited.
They were. It was actually at first, watch when they sat down, I'm like, oh, Christ.
Yeah.
Sitting next to some fucking tweener teeny boppers.
Knuckleheads.
But it, as the movie went on, it was actually really cool to see their reactions to stuff.
Yeah.
Because they were heavily into the Peter-MJ relationship stuff.
Yes.
Like, to the point where they were, like, squealing with delight. And I'm like...
yeah.
That's kind of what this film needed to be.
Yes.
Because this is very much a teen romp European vacation
type of film. I did see somewhere... I said I didn't watch any reviews, and I didn't. Oh, it was on Twitter. Someone said that it was a cross between European Vacation and Gotcha.
Jesus. Yeah.
So,
because I definitely got,
I think that was Matt Oswalt.
I definitely got the heavy European Vacation vibe, because they're going from location to location to location
quickly
and not really spending much time there.
Yes.
With hijinks ensuing at each location for a specific purpose. Which some people might bemoan, but I think that's what this film was going for.
Yeah.
You know, and again, it's not a Peter Parker story if shit isn't going wrong.
Right.
He can't just go somewhere and enjoy his life.
Right.
Because that's not what happens to Peter Parker.
Right.
I
don't know that people... And again, this is based on nothing but me being a you can't like my stuff fan.
Yeah.
Do people understand that?
I don't know.
Because that's... That bothers me.
Yeah.
Because the... That's the essence of why Spider-Man's awesome.
Yeah, because he's a hard luck hero.
He doesn't want to do this.
Nothing ever goes right. His life suffers tremendously from being Spider-Man.
Being Spider-Man is the worst thing that ever happened to him.
But he still does it.
Yeah.
And that's what makes him Spider-Man.
Right.
And even in...
So it bothers me that people might not get that.
Yeah. And I think that's going to happen a lot with the twist at the end that happens in the post-credit scene. Because that's going to seriously fuck up his life.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll get to that when we get to it.
Yeah. I don't want to get to the end of the film yet.
Yeah, I have some things about that that are both good and bad. About both post credits, actually.
Yeah.
So we can, I guess we can begin at the beginning.
Yeah.
I think they do a good job of setting up the pressure that Peter feels to become Tony.
Yeah.
They did a good job with that. Mm-hmm. I thought it was very clever. Again, I'm jumping way too far. I did it again. I thought it was very clever the way they worked Quentin Beck into...
I did too.
I thought that was brilliant. Yeah. I never would have thought of that.
No. Because, again, we know him as he was the Hollywood special effects guy.
He's a ridiculous comic book villain, yeah. And that's why it's so great that they pulled it off.
But they still used that type of story.
Yeah.
You know, he's a guy who worked for Stark at one point, which I
love. That we've seen.
Yes. His job was to make the holographic stuff.
The $611 million...
Barf.
Whatever, barf, yeah. Yeah.
And he's got a reason. Civil War. He's got a reason to be angry with Tony.
Yeah.
Because Tony basically torched his career.
Right.
Because Tony didn't like something. Or whatnot. You know, that...
It's very similar. I hadn't thought of this. This actually might be leading to Sinister Six type motivations, but it's Adrian Toome's story.
Yeah.
From Homecoming. Yep. I mean, it's almost, he got screwed by Tony Stark. And not just kind of screwed by Tony Stark, but it's almost worse than, like, someone looks you in the eye and screws you over, but when someone doesn't even notice that they screwed you over.
Yeah.
Because you're nothing to them.
Yeah.
Or, that's not fair to say, but you know what I mean. Yeah. Like,
You are so far below where they're at.
Yeah, like, the fact that this ruined your life never even crossed their mind, and that's somehow worse.
Yeah.
Because, for example, Tony thought he was helping by doing damage control and all that stuff, mm-hmm. but probably wasn't considering the fact that it ruined, you know, yeah. an unemployed, you know, caused, like, whole crew of guys to lose their jobs. And the same thing here, when he probably just looked at Pepper one day as she was showing him stuff and said, yeah, no, scrap that one.
Mm-hmm.
And that ended up screwing Quentin Beck's life.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
that's worse than someone...
And he had a team full of people.
Yeah.
That... You know, Tony had fucked over at some point or another.
Right.
So
I wonder if they'll just keep doing this until they've made 6 Spider-Man movies and then bring them all back together.
Well, that's the thing, too, because the guy who kind of makes it out of this film is another guy that Obadiah Stane and Tony both fucked over, it seems like.
Yeah. The doctor from Iron Man 1.
Yeah, that Tony made this in a cave.
With a bunch of scraps.
Yeah, the guy that he was yelling at.
It's actually my favorite line from that movie.
It is. It is
just the way he spit delivers it.
Yeah. But that guy's going to play a part.
Yeah.
Coming up. I wouldn't be surprised if he's like the guy who kind of starts making the Sinister Six.
This movie had probably the, out of all the Marvel movies are always doing callbacks, these were probably the most well done callbacks.
Yeah, they were pretty good.
As far as just being really deep, not just wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Yeah. Hey, you remember this from that movie you liked? It was like really, like, wow, the guy from Iron Man 1?
Yeah, and it fits.
It was 11 years ago.
Yeah, they did a good job with that.
Really impressed.
The Mysterio illusion stuff was phenomenal.
And it made sense. Remember when when I was laughing about it when we first heard it was Mysterio? Yeah. Well, actually, before we even heard it was Mysterio, we jokingly said it should be Mysterio.
Yeah.
And then when it got announced,
yeah.
that's maybe when we, another time where we were expecting a check from Marvel and it hasn't come.
No.
But we were like, is he going to wear the fishbowl?
Yep.
Answer, yes, and it's going to look awesome.
Yeah, where's the complete outfit?
Yeah.
Including the cape, which I love that they had a woman whose job it was to just keep steam cleaning the cape, make it look right.
He's
going to meet the queen.
It can't have wrinkles. And then, like, my thing was, his powers are pretty dumb.
Yeah.
Most of it is, like, they come out of these little cubes and stuff. It totally makes you...
Yeah.
Not that it's possible yet, obviously, but it makes sense that Tony would have drones that were capable of doing that, and then you add these hologram projectors onto it.
And then you've got a team full of people who are creating, like, the explosions and the damage and all that stuff.
Well, you've got a squib team.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah. You have a full-blown special effects team
at your disposal. So they paid homage to the character by having costume design and a sound guy and all that stuff on his team. They took all the things about Mysterio that should have been impossible in a live-action movie... and either made them work, or, like with the case of the fishbowl, oh, you think it's going to look stupid?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's going to look fucking awesome. Mm-hmm. And it did. So, I don't know. I'm really impressed by this movie. And like I said before we started, other than some... I had some green screen issues early.
Yeah.
The second half of this movie is probably the best looking Marvel movie.
Yeah, yeah, his Iron Spider costume looked a little awkward.
Yeah.
When they were doing, like, the benefit.
Yes.
Yep. That scene was odd. That scene, yep. I'm like, yep. Maybe that scene should have stayed on the cutting room floor.
Yeah.
It wasn't really necessary.
Yeah. Well, that was just a setup. See, that's the sort of thing that could have just stayed in the trailer.
Yeah.
That would have been a perfectly acceptable...
Yeah, because that was just to show that he was uncomfortable being the Tony Stark role.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that he and May are now kind of working together.
Yeah.
I like how, much like in the first one, they didn't waste any time on Uncle Ben.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't waste any time on this with explain, you know, May and Peter having the Spider-Man talk. It was just the what the fuck at the end of the first one.
Yep.
Which happens again at this the end of this one. Which, again, super clever.
Yeah.
That both movies end the same way. So I like that they did not waste... It's a fairly lengthy, especially for a solo movie. It was over 2 hours long.
It was like
long.
2 hours and 5 minutes or something like that. Yeah.
And they didn't waste a second on it. You know, having that scene, which I think a lot of people would have. They would have been like, okay, we're going to have the scene where Peter explains to May, and May gets mad at him and tells him how dangerous it is. Mm-hmm. Let's just assume that conversation happened and move the fuck on. And they did, and I like that.
Yeah.
And they got right to the trip, too. There was no fucking around.
Yep. No, they got right to wherever they needed to be fairly quickly.
Because the second half of this movie could have really... been hurt by because really the third act of this movie is the second half of the movie.
Yeah,
it's like the majority once it gets going.
Yeah,
it
and that's a hell of a final boss battle.
Yeah,
I thought the final boss
it looked like a video game
was great.
Yes,
yeah, you've got, I mean, Jake Gyllenhaal was perfect. He pulled that off.
Oh yeah, 100%. You know, although. Stop killing your good villains.
I know.
Stop killing your good
Especially
villains.
Especially after they didn't kill the Vulture in the first one.
God, I'm I like, forgot about that. I wasn't even, yeah, I wasn't even thinking I, about that I when
like,
I said the
I was like, no,
killed
let him.
Him
live, let him live, let him live.
Yeah.
Nope, not so much.
Yeah, that I didn't care for, but...
I love the fact that the Nick Fury role in this was clever.
Yep.
Interesting, definitely. I mean, we're going to spoil it.
It'll be interesting on rewatch.
Nick Fury is not Nick Fury. I noticed one time when he mentioned something about Captain Marvel, and he's like, don't say that name. And I'm like, well, that was weird.
Yeah. there was another one, too,
yeah.
Where he was... There was another point... There was a point where I kind of had a little head tilt when he was super indecisive about something.
Yeah.
And he's never indecisive about anything.
Yeah. Those of you who've watched it know, Nick Fury is a Skrull.
Yep.
The entire film, both him and Maria Hill
are
Skrulls.
Because Nick is on, Fury is actually on vacation with the rest of the Skrulls.
Yeah.
On galactic holiday, I guess.
Yeah. So it's good to see that the Skrulls are still around and that they're going to be used.
Yes. Because, yeah, that's a good point. Because keep in mind, it has been 30 years chronologically between, because it's now 2023, Marvel time, and the last time you saw the Skrulls was 1995, so it's been, I know it's only been two movies, but it's been 30 years.
Yeah, it's nice to know that they're still around.
Yep.
I like that they mentioned, what they call it, the blip?
Yep.
The blipping, that, like, one of the kids in their class now, they all remember him as being, like, 10.
Yeah.
And now he's 16.
They handled that well, too. It was a little bit clunky, but they just did all their exposition right up front, which they needed to, because you do need to address that.
Yeah,
because that was the question going in. It's not as big a deal with, like, I don't know, the next Doctor Strange movie, because he's in his 40s.
Yeah,
it is different when they're 15 and like, wait, are they still juniors in high school or whatever?
Yeah.
Turns out, yeah, they are. Yep. But so that was a little bit clunky, but they just had the Benny
and
whatever.
It's still
whatever.
Like, okay, all the main characters, you know, MJ and Betty. And
I thought about it, but
blip,
it was only four.
Yeah.
Because if you think about Back to Homecoming, none of those other kids are even in it.
No.
It's just Flash, Betty, MJ, and Peter.
Yeah.
Right?
And Ned.
And Ned, yeah. So yeah, just, four kids and Peter. So And plus the other guy that does the news with Betty that is only on the news things.
Yeah.
He blipped also, but other than that, like, I'm trying to think of the other people in the first one.
Yeah.
But the other kids on the geek team there,
yeah,
they were not there, so
you're right,
they assume they are now in
college.
Just graduated college, you know?
Abraham. Even the fact that there's a new teacher. J.B. Smooth.
I was a little put off that they put him ahead of Martin Starr in the credits.
It must be something contractually.
Did you notice that,
I did too? I'm like, he's really high in the credits. He's not really... I like J.B. Smooth when he's in, like...
Smooth, Dan. Say it right.
It's
hard to do, isn't it?
I know. When he's on, like, Curb Your Enthusiasm and stuff like that. His role in this really wasn't that great.
No. I'm trying to think.
He's just there to complain about witchcraft.
What show do I see him on all the time? Because I don't watch that. It doesn't really matter. But I was really surprised. I was surprised that he was ahead of Martin Starr, mm-hmm. and that he was in the main credits. And I was also surprised that the girl that plays Betty was not. All of the rest of the kids were in the, you know, but she was like the first of the group credits, which is. If she's you're after the ands...
And she's got a pretty significant role in this film.
And she's also had a pretty good career so far, because she was in that... she was the daughter... She was Ryan Gosling's daughter in the... That movie I liked.
Oh.
Where the two detectives, Russell Crowe...
Oh, that's right,
Shane Black one.
The something... Nice Guys.
Yeah, either Nice Guys or Good Guys, and the other one is the Will Ferrell one.
Yeah.
That movie's great.
Yeah.
And she plays a pretty big role in that. She was in something else that I saw, and then she had a pretty big role in this. So I was surprised that the other high school kids all had, you know, Flash and MJ. I mean, obviously MJ would, but it was weird. I really pay attention to stuff like that, so I imagine they do too.
Yeah,
you know where your name is on the credits.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like you said, it was probably I'll do it, but I need to be like. 8th billing or whatever.
Yeah. Whatever. Which, again, could have gotten anybody for that.
Yeah.
He didn't really bring much to it.
No, not really.
And Martin Starr is very important.
Yeah.
Way more important than
he was in this film. And a returning character.
Yeah.
I don't know. I knew I was going to like it, but I was worried about kind of like post-Endgame letdown.
Mm-hmm.
And this, I thought this was the...
No, it's a good bridge to what's going to have to come next, because...
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's obvious they're not going to build something huge for a while.
Yeah. If they do, it will be in space.
Yeah.
Well,
that's where Fury is.
Right.
So.
But like you said, I'm glad that the showing of the Skrulls... Because, again, that was unnecessary to the plot of the movie.
Oh, completely. They could have just had to be Nick Fury the entire time and been fine.
Yeah, so the thing that's exciting is there's no way they... In a movie that's this smart,
mm-hmm.
There's no way that was an accident. There's no way that was just for the post-credit scene.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, that they only did this to, hey, this will get a chuckle at the end.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be a reason.
Yeah.
I mean, I know in the context of the movie, it's just... Because we get from Captain Marvel that he had fun doing that, so probably he was like, hey, can I... Because it was supposed to be just to deliver the glasses.
Mm-hmm.
So it was probably like, hey, can I pretend to be you and deliver the glasses? I'm sure that, you know, that's how it would be explained, but, like, just the fact that, like you said, showing them means they're not gone.
Yeah.
And then the other post-credit... Wait, should we talk more about the movie? Did we talk about the middle of the movie?
Not really.
But the post-credit... where Spider-Man, they show some altered footage, which is very current.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
it's very,
very
Fox Newsy,
deep fake stuff, and reveals Spider-Man's identity. One, it does the clever "what the fuck" callback.
Mm-hmm.
He does the same thing that May did when she discovered he was Spider-Man, bringing back J.K. Simmons.
Yeah.
I don't know how I like, my initial thing was like, hey,
yeah.
But then on the other hand, it's like, wait a minute. It's kind of like when they kept having the same Alfred in the first Batman movies, but Batman was different every time.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that.
It is. I was happy.
Yeah.
Just because he fucking nailed that role so hard.
Yeah, there's almost, there's perfect. there's never been, I mean, you could say Captain America until you're blue in the face, but there's never been better comic book movie casting than J.K. Simmons as J. Jonah Jameson. He literally looks just like him.
Yeah.
And the character was created 50 fucking years ago.
Yeah. And he just plays it so perfectly.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you said, it's weird because it's a whole different universe at this time. But if you're gonna bring one character,
yeah,
might as well be him.
Is there another example of that? I feel like there's another example of that, but I'm not placing it. Where maybe not a Marvel movie, maybe it's another DC. I don't know. But for the first, I think all of the, like, 90s Batman movies are, it's the same Alfred. And literally everyone else is different. Right? Is anyone...
Like, the Commissioner. Commissioner Gordon's the same.
He is?
I think.
Because there's, like, three different Harvey Dents.
Yeah.
Four different Batmen.
yeah, Jesus, I don't know. But anyway, not someone. Yeah, not like Alfred's an important character.
Yeah.
If there were some other ones that were crossovers, it was smaller. Oh, he's on screen for 5 minutes. No one will care.
Yeah. So, again, because they don't do anything for no reason, does that mean that? I mean, he's part of the universe now, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, he will be in the next film.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He will obviously play a large part.
Once you've introduced J. Jonah Jameson, you got to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
I like that it was the kind of a ratty tabloid.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Whereas I don't know that it's ever been like portrayed as like a major newspaper, but it was never portrayed as a conspiracy theory.
Well, that's the thing. Newspapers aren't where people get their news anymore.
Right.
So J. Jonah being a newspaper man, no one would care.
Right.
Most people can't name an editor for the Washington Post or the New York Times, where people know who Sean Hannity is.
Yeah.
You know.
Right. Yeah, you're right. And like on the Spider-Man PS4 game, he is a blogger.
Yeah.
Basically, he runs a basically InfoWars type.
Yeah.
Thing. Which is good. You got to update the character because, like you said, people don't buy newspapers anymore, so it would be silly. It's not as bad in like Superman because there a Daily Planet would still exist.
Yeah,
but a Daily Bugle probably wouldn't.
No, they'd be bought up. They would have been.
They would have been chewed up, spit out for pulp.
I mean, there's really only, like, six major newspapers anymore.
Yeah.
And most of them are all owned by the same people,
yeah.
So, yeah, all these other ones get fucking phased out.
So, I think these post-credit, those two post-credit scenes gave more glimpse into the future than post-credit scenes have in a long
time. Yeah, I was just going to say, it's the first time in a long time where a post-credit scene mattered.
Yeah.
Where it wasn't just something cute.
Yeah, and is going to lead to something.
Yeah, which is nice. I think we needed that.
Yeah. Because I remember saying after, maybe it was after Endgame, or what was right before Endgame, Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
That I missed those kinds of
post-credits.
Mm-hmm. And sure, again, like, not alone, but those are the ones people, because I'm usually, even if it's kind of funny, I'm usually pissed if it's not, like, waiting all the way to the end of Homecoming for the Captain America thing where he says, "You guys still here?" or whatever.
Yeah,
like, okay, Ferris Bueller.
Yeah I wanted something that shows where Marvel's
I want to see Doc Ock, god damn it.
Yeah, which while we didn't get that, we at least know, okay, the next movie's gonna be rough on Peter because he just got fucking outed as a 16-year-old kid. Which I think is going to be an interesting take. Because it's one thing to be outed as Spider-Man, and like they outed Spider-Man in the comics a while back when he was like 30.
Yeah.
A 30-year-old's going to handle that much different than a 16-year-old's going to handle that.
Right. Well, I mean, that's the big, one of the big differences between him and Tony was that Tony voluntarily, he relished kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it was a fuck you when Tony came up.
Yeah, I'm Iron Man.
Yeah.
Whereas Peter's not that way. Where they're very, very similar in a lot of ways, but very, very different in that. I wonder... Do you think... This is where the longevity of the MCU makes me kind of excited for the... Because you know it's not just going to be a trilogy of Spider-Man movies.
Yeah.
Like, the first Thor was, like, 2011 or whatever. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be another one soon, as 10, 12 years apart.
Yeah.
So if you kind of do that same math with Spider-Man and think about, we are going to see, like, 2011 Thor is not a hell of a lot different than 2019 Thor. Mm-hmm. But 16-year-old Peter... And 30-year-old Peter, if we still have Tom Holland playing him and they're still on the same thing. I do, too. I think that's really exciting.
Yeah.
Because, like, Thor is 1,520 years old in the first one and 1,528 years old in the most recent one. So, like, he hasn't done a lot since then. But Peter's going to be a very different person. Mm-hmm. And that's exciting.
Yeah.
Because you have... You have the ability to treat it like a comic book, as long as he wants to keep doing it.
Like I said, that's why I liked watching it next to the tweens.
Yeah.
Because they were so into, like, every time that Peter and MJ almost kissed or something, they were like, ooh! You know, they were squealing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's a story you can only really tell with teenagers.
Yeah.
That awkward, oh my god, is this really going to happen? Are they going to kiss? Blah, blah, blah.
Whereas you and I are like, get on with it.
Yeah. Oh,
just
my
fucking
God.
Tell her, dude. What
you
is
you guys
your
aren't
going to
be talking in 5 years.
Yeah,
so
my
just, whatever.
God. This is not the hardest thing you'll ever do.
Yeah.
It's
but yeah, I mean his plan to buy something in Italy and give it to her on top of the fucking Eiffel Tower. I'm like, that is such a teenage thing right there to do.
Yep.
And it was cool seeing teenagers really respond to the teenage aspects of the movie.
Do you think they knew that Mysterio was a bad guy?
Probably not. They seemed pretty shocked in the reveal.
See, that's when I think where Iron Man 3, and both of us are on record with being totally fine with the Iron Man 3 reveal or whatever you want to call it, twist. But I think they were thinking of that when they did it.
Yeah.
And that... It didn't help the movie, even though we've both said many times I actually kind of liked it. And it doesn't mean there isn't a Mandarin.
Yeah,
that's what people's reaction was. Whoa, the Mandarin was fake the whole time. Well, yeah, that one is.
Yeah,
but he works for the real one.
Yeah,
and I know they said that it was actually Killian in the thing, but or
no, because it was in the prison scene in like a bonus
in the one shot
that who knows how many people have even seen that,
right?
Because they've never, like, put out a DVD of the one-shots.
No, I don't even remember what movie it's attached to. It would have to be...
I can't even remember which...
Phase 2
I cannot remember which DVD it's on. Not a bit.
Hmm.
I wish they'd get back to doing that, too, because that gave... I mean, it's not like I wasn't going to buy the Blu-rays anyway, but it kind of made the Blu-rays special.
It was also just a... You can do dumb stuff.
Yeah.
And... It's okay. Mm-hmm. It ended up getting a series for Agent Carter.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only reason Agent Carter existed as a series. I mean, it only lasted 2 seasons,
but still.
It was good.
Yep.
And I'm glad... I'll put it this way. I'm glad it happened. I'm glad that show existed, and it wouldn't have happened without one of those.
Correct.
And in almost every case, it's like... Steven Spielberg is not doing these. You know, it's up-and-coming... Yeah. You know, hey, we're going to give you a chance, kid. Here's you got a 4-minute thing to do about...
Make the best of it.
The two people that found the Tesseract. Or what did they find? What did the two dudes find? Maybe it was a gun or something, a weapon or something.
Remember.
I don't remember either. I like the way that... Even though they told us a lot, but not much with the post-credits.
Yeah.
Like... No new characters were revealed.
Yeah.
I think I was sort of expecting at least one of the post-credits to have some sort of character
reveal.
What
the villain might be in the next one type of thing.
Or... Yeah, or even if... I think I think we talked about it a while back when we first heard about the Ooh, I want to talk about that. The multiverse stuff, mm-hmm. that this might be our introduction to Fantastic Four, maybe in a post-credit or something like that. But it turns out that
the multiverse is not real.
It's just fake. But they still use
It could be a fake that actually is real.
Right.
Yeah.
Where are you on that? Where did you end up on that with the... Have you given that any thought?
Not really, no.
Because it was the first... It popped into my head on the way home. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, wait, if they... So none of that... Because, you know, while you're watching the movie, you're just taking it as it happens. And then I was like, oh, that means that the multiverse doesn't exist, which means my Fantastic Four thing doesn't exist.
Which, though, they did label Earth correctly.
They did.
Yes, because it's Earth 616.
Right. So, that again made me think, like... So are they just going to use this as a throwaway?
I hope not. I can't imagine they will.
Because there's too many places you... obviously. There's too many places to go from there.
Yeah.
That you wouldn't want to just use it as a throwaway for Quentin Beck's fake story. That was the other thing, was that it surprised me... I said at one point during the move in my head, I was thinking, there's no way Nick Fury wouldn't know that Quentin Beck used to work for Tony Stark.
Yeah.
That's what it was that tipped me off.
Yeah.
Because I was like, wait, he didn't know, because he didn't change his name or anything.
Yeah, that's a good point, yeah.
He used his real name. Like, there is zero chance that
Nick Fury would have just done a simple Google search.
Exactly.
And been like, oh.
I know who you are.
Yeah.
You're not a superhero from another dimension.
Or if you are, let's go find this dimension's Quentin Beck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So...
maybe we should make sure you guys don't cross paths or whatever. But Nick would have found out very quickly.
Yeah. And that's what it was. That it didn't tip me off that he was a Skrull, but it was like... I did a head tilt. Like, mm-hmm. He would have looked that up. Mm-hmm. But as it turns out, it wasn't him anyway. What was I looking for? Oh, I was going to find out what that one shot is. That might take me a while. Yeah. Are we done? Do we have anything else?
I do not have anything else.
Okay. Next week we'll talk about those horror movies.
Yep.
And
it'll be a little bit of a length because we'll be doing it on a Sunday.
All right. Yep. Did you finish Chernobyl?
Not yet, no.
I have one left. I have the trial left.
I did not watch any Chernobyl this week, so...
It's awesome.
Yeah, I gotta crank it out.
It's really good. I watched the first one there before we talked last week, or maybe the first two, and then I watched the next couple in one sitting, and then I just had the last one left, and I've been saving it for some reason. I don't know why. So maybe I'll watch it tonight. Look, Far From Home's already up.
Yep.
Look at that. Ooh. All right, well then...
All right. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. Bye.